UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We won't report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs? They're out there. Same airplanes.
And a dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. The guest we have coming on the moment is Dee from Cape Town, South Africa. His account of the phenomena that he observed on the morning of Friday the 4th of May 2018 over the Atlantic. A very fascinating sighting. But before we hear from Dee, a big thank you to this week's Apple Podcasts 5-star ratings and reviewers. And they are Phantom 1999, The Dubster, APUC 83, Gerard Edlareg, and Eli, all from the US, and finally, Irfan 401 from the UK. Thank you for taking the time to do that. It helps the show to be more visible to listeners and potential guests. And if you get a chance, head over to our website at ufochroniclespodcast.com for more information on the episodes. We got a cool shop with merchandise. You can support the show there, get yourself a bumper sticker, enter our competitions, and importantly, contact me with your encounters. Link is in the description.
If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
Show, Dee.
Hi, Nick.
Now, you're calling from Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah, that's correct. A little town, actually, just north of Cape Town called Melkbosstrand.
Excellent. And that's pretty much where you had your experience in 2018?
That's correct. Right on my patio overlooking the Atlantic Ocean.
Would you like to start at the beginning and walk the listeners into what you were doing and what you experienced, please, Dee?
I'll try to keep it as short as possible. Without leaving out too much detail. So it was an early morning. I usually get up at around 5. I had a cup of coffee, went out to sitting on my patio that's literally right on the beach, about a mile on the second floor from the ground up. So having a cigarette, having my morning coffee as usual, a bit of a ritual, and had my nose somewhere in Twitter or email or whatever the case was, and I look up and, or not look up, something catches my eye in the sky, a very, very bright light up in the sky right in front of me that draws my eye. Now, initially, didn't really register in my mind that it's anything special because I very often see aircraft coming in over the ocean as they join the landing circuit at Cape Town International Airport, and they have their landing lights on. And if they're coming in on the approach, they won't move much. So it sometimes seems as though it's just a light, a very bright light hanging in the sky. I think a lot of people confuse that kind of thing. So, but then the light went out. It wasn't on for more than 10 seconds, probably a lot less. And it struck me that there wasn't any strobes. You normally would see the white and the green and the red strobes and lights on the wings of a normal aircraft, even if the landing light is off. And I didn't pay it any more attention. I guess a few minutes later, I can't remember how long it was, I suddenly see this very, very bright, well, not that bright, not as bright as the initial light, but like a bright star that suddenly appears more or less where the bright light was and appears out of nowhere and suddenly streak off to my right, to the north, at a tremendous speed. And then a second one appeared and streaks off to the north, and a third and a fourth. So tremendous acceleration. This thing just appears, pops up, there's the light, and then it flies off in a northerly direction and appears behind the horizon. That went on for quite a while. And initially, I thought that I'm witnessing some kind of a weapon, a space-based weapon system of some kind. I was in the military, in the South African Defense Force. I worked on artillery systems, multiple rocket launchers, and this reminded me of those multiple rocket launchers when you lose the pack of the launchers and when the rockets goes off. That lasted for a while. I can't remember. You know, when you see something weird, you don't exactly look at your watch how long it goes on. I did at one stage try to go and find my camera. The phone camera. I have a digital camera as well, a big one, proper DSLR, and a small one. Tried to film this, but it didn't really work out. It's just too far away. The cameras are not adequate for night filming for something like that. The lights eventually stopped appearing and streaking off. Lights eventually stopped. And then I started seeing, initially it was three little blips of light, like little stars, just streaking around the sky, tumbling and turning around, just randomly flying around the sky, making very, very steep turns, accelerating, decelerating. And eventually they seemed to be starting to chase a fourth little light in the sky and chasing it all over the sky, tumbling around. Eventually I could see streaks of light falling off this fourth one that was being chased, like flares or pieces of debris falling off something that was being attacked. I didn't see any laser lights or, I don't know, traces being fired or anything like that. But they were definitely confronting this fourth one and these massive streaks of sparks flying off it. But that eventually ended, and for a while the three just flew around in random patterns as if they were sort of searching around the sky. But then that went, I lost them, I didn't see them anymore. And eventually, after a while, I can't remember how long, I noticed way up to my left, very high in the sky, three lights coming together, but not the bright lights like I saw earlier that was forming this aerial battle kind of thing. It was three ovals joined together that were emitting a red-orange glow, as if they were joined together, three sitting next to each other, but on a horizontal plane. And this was moving quite slowly to the east until I lost it behind the roof line of the building. After that, it went quiet for a while, and, you know, the light started coming up and it was morning and dawn and not dark anymore, so I lost sight of the stars. And eventually I was staring at the sky trying to see if there's still anything out there, and by now the moon has come from behind the roof line and it was in my line of sight, and I looked up at the moon at one stage and I saw just below it, this was about probably an hour or a bit more after the first sighting I had, I saw the extremely strange flaw in the sky, a little bit, a few degrees below the moon, a circle of light that was crimping to a sharp point. I don't know how to describe it other than just the flaw in the sky. That was a circle, and the circle was contracting or focusing into a smaller point. Sort of superimposed over that, a shape appeared. Not very clearly visible. This was as if it was slightly bluer or slightly darker blue or lighter blue or a little bit whiter than the blue sky surrounding that area. But a distinctive shape, and this shape appeared over this floor, and it flew off in an easterly direction. And another one appeared, same, this flaw in the sky has this crimping effect, this focusing effect, and another shape pops up. All of them, one after the other, sort of every 8 to 10 seconds, another one, another one, another one, and they would all appear and then fly off. Some of them flew off immediately at great acceleration. They literally went beyond the roof line in a fraction of a second. But each of them I could see appear and then fly off, appear and then fly off. Some of them did sort of briefly veer to the left and flew over the bay in a northerly direction and then turned to the east. So I could see them fly out, make a little bit of a turn to the left and then turn to the right and flew east again. The shapes were, I put them in three different categories, effectively. There were many different designs of these vessels that were flying. Some of them were clearly machines, machine-shaped, designed, purposeful, built machines, mostly in a delta or an elongated triangular formation or arrowhead, I guess. And of different sizes. There were a couple of these that were extremely big. One of them reminded me of a typical Star Wars or Imperial Cruiser kind of shape, that massive big arrowhead. And then one that was just so incredibly large. It filled an area of sky about 90 degrees above me. It was like having an aircraft carrier hanging in the sky above my head. I worked on a bit of triangulation, making a rough guesstimate on how high above my head these things appeared. And to fill an arc of 90 degrees at that kind of distance, I reckon this thing was anywhere between 700 to 2,000 meters in length. Second kind of shape was more organic. There was a lot of different manta ray type or ray type shapes, as well as some that looked like horseshoe crabs, more or less that kind of shape, as well as quite a few that were just crescents, but crescents, some flying with a rounded edge leading, and other crescents with the two horns leading. So not all crescents flying in the same direction. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say there. And then the last group was more of an element kind of shape, like minerals or crystals. Some had very sharp, crystalline, tapered edges to it, almost like seeing the silhouette of a big aloe plant, I guess that organic. I got the feeling of a crystal, mass intrusions, these crystals sticking out of this thing, very spiky. And some of them were more of a ball with squarish protrusions all over it. Some of the mineral type, these ball type ones, were not that big. Some of them were smaller than others. And then, but the crystal ones, or crystalline ones, crystalline, whatever way you really pronounce the word, I'm not English, it's not my first language. They were actually quite big, but not as big as some of the big machine type vessels. And then there were a few, a handful, that I really could not discern the shape of them. It was just the flaw in the sky appeared, and the crimping effect was there. And then it was just as if a little flaw was flying off, and I couldn't see the shape inside it. So those were either much smaller, or it was some kind of a different technology that I just couldn't see it. All of them, despite their size, did have some kind of a halo around them. Yeah, I guess that's the whole thing. It eventually stopped. So the time that I saw this whole fleet emerging from this spot in the sky, this emergence point, was around 15 minutes. It may have started earlier than I first observed it, obviously. So I don't have an exact time on it. But from the videos I tried to take of it using my iPhone, if I look at the time stamps on those, it was at least 15 minutes. This fleet was emerging from this point and streaking off in an easterly direction. I eventually sort of came to the conclusion that what I did see initially when I just saw these lights appearing and streaking off repetitively over and over again, that it was an emergence exactly like I saw later when it was more daylight. It was a fleet of vessels emerging in this point in the sky. The initial emergence was interrupted by whomever than the three vessels that I saw that attacked the fourth one. And the emergence point was moved and these guys kept flying, whomever they were. And looking at the designs of the ships or the shapes that I saw, I would think that there's definitely more than one intelligence sitting behind that because of the design differences. We would clearly make machines and our flying instruments or vessels or vehicles would look more or less the same. You know, these wings, or you have a balloon, very similar kind of shapes and designs. But some of these were completely way off, which makes me think it's different civilizations, different groups, different people that came through in this massive combined fleet. And looking at the time between each emergence, every time that emergence point would crimp up and a new vessel would appear, I would say anywhere between 120, 130, up to 150 vessels came through during the whole time that I had the observation, which lasted in total around 1.5 hours. And that is as short as I can describe the whole thing.
Now, you've got a military background, so obviously that makes you an excellent observer. If it would have been a military exercise of any sort, who would have been doing that kind of thing around that area?
Well, put it to you this way. Okay, my military background is in the past, I've spent my time in the artillery, but I do also have a background in aviation. I've had an interest in it for a long time. I crafted at one stage, bad investment, but anyway, that's a different subject. So from a military point of view, the South African forces don't have anything that can do that. Most definitely not. We don't have the capability. Maybe, you know, if it is terrestrial, if it's us, maybe the United States, Russia, or China. That's the only people that could have something up there. There is talk, and I've seen art, etc., about a space-based weapon system. Well, I don't know if it's the Air Force or what force it is that they have, that is a kinetic-based system where they literally just can launch a big piece of metal, like a tungsten telephone pole, and this thing can fly down, or just gravity takes a huge amount of damage to pure kinetic energy. And it's not an act of war aid scenario. It's no fallout. There's no explosive. It's just a big mass that falls down at a tremendous speed. Now, initially, I thought it was something like that. It's certainly not any capability that we in South Africa have. I thought it was a U.S. space-based system going off, but I quickly realized the initial emergence point that I was seeing was not moving. If it was a space-based system, this thing would be moving. It would be rotating around the Earth like the satellite does. So it would not have been stuck in one point. So immediately, the thought is it's not a space-based system. This thing is just very high up in the sky. It's in the atmosphere.
We will be back with D after Air Diction by Dale F. Parfit. We'll be right back.
Great stuff. That was Dale with Air Diction. Link to his music is in the show notes of this episode. And if you would be interested in having your music played on the show, head over to our website, UFOChroniclesPodcast.com, and go to the unsigned page. That part of South Africa, is it prone to UFO sightings?
Not as far as I'm aware. I think South Africa in general, we don't have a well-developed, industry is not the right word, but a community of people looking at objects like this, or a reporting system, or an information collection system. There may be some small groups around here and there, people that have seen something, but there's no systems in place like a MUFON, for example, where you can see reports. I found MUFON, by the way, after I had my experience, and I started seeing where one can report this kind of thing or find information on it. So we don't have anything like that really in South Africa. So for all I know, there could be lots of sightings and people just don't talk about it, or people simply don't see anything. I have no idea.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, objects being seen literally all over the world. Now, as with your sighting, you have compiled a very detailed website.
Mm-hmm.
And people can actually report their sightings actually onto your website itself. Do you want to let listeners know where they can find your website, please, Dee?
All right, yeah. I've created this really to put my story on a site somewhere, because there really isn't anything in South Africa. And to have my story there told in my own words, so people don't twist and turn just my words around, whatever the case may be, or add tales to it. It is what it is, and it's there for anyone to read. The site is called, it's www.fridayskies.com. The word Friday, skies.com. So, well, the name is, I saw it on a Friday. It was a phenomenon that I saw on a Friday. So it was not the only one I saw on a Friday. A few weeks later, I saw something else. But anyway, it was a small sighting, nothing to compare to what I saw that day. So people can have a look. And if, you know, people in this area, South Africa, they see something, they're welcome to drop me an email. The idea is not really to build a whole big reporting system. It's just, I would like to find out and maybe do a bit of investigation of my own. I do have a few ideas on what one can do in terms of technologically building a system that will be able to see these things better. But yeah, this will take huge amounts of money, and it's not something I can spend a lot of time on.
That's great, because we do actually have quite a lot of listeners in South Africa. So it'd be interesting to know if anybody else has seen anything in the whole area. You know, you're the first person that's really reported from the continent out to me.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure there's other people that have seen things. I remember years ago there was supposedly quite a well-known event in South Africa. I heard of it years ago, and I've never really seen anything since. Supposedly, a UFO that was shot down over the northern Kalahari area. I think it was in the late 80s, but that story died a very quiet death. I don't know if anything ever happened with that, but that's the only big one in South Africa that I'm aware of.
What was your belief before you had your experience, Dee?
Well, I sort of an interest in science fiction and engineering technology, this kind of things. I've certainly believed in the sense that there must be something out there. I think anyone can recognize the fact that there's, I don't know, a billion or whatever stars, a billion stars in just our galaxy alone, and there's however many trillions of galaxies out there. So surely there must be life on other planets. If there's life on Earth, it means life is possible in the first place. So there must be some life in other places. So I certainly believed that there's other life. I was hoping that, you know, they would actually come and visit us, or we would find them, or whatever the case may be. So call it, I wanted to believe in the presence of extraterrestrials on Earth. But I went from wanting to believe straight through past believing into knowing in an hour and a half. And it really blows one's mind. And turns your reality on its head. So I wanted to believe, now I know. And it's frustrating that at this stage, that's all I know. I don't have any way of knowing more than what I now know. These things, or these people are not running around where we can see them. They're not openly communicating with us. They, who knows what they are doing here? It could be a thousand different reasons, anything from innocent, I don't know, anthropological studies to commerce that we don't know about, to we being, I don't know, just a trading post or a stopover for some kind. Who knows? Who knows? I'd like to know one day.
Yeah, let's hope we do. Yeah, I mean, I've got reports and sightings coming in and experiences of various different types coming in literally daily now. So it's getting quite popular. And it seems to be working because every guest I have on, it then opens up to other people that want to come on and share what they've experienced, you know, so.
That's excellent. That's all you can hope for. People talk about it. I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Because they don't want to be ridiculed, or they don't want to be exposed to who they are, because whatever other life they have, I also don't want people really to go dig into this like this in life. So, but yeah, the story's out there. Maybe it's of use to someone. So good luck with that, and really appreciate it.
Again, for the listeners, head on over to www.fridayskies.com and check out Dee's website. It's very detailed. There's some excellent sketches in there.
A lot of people say, you know, why is the footage always so bad? Cameras are actually inadequate. They're brilliant to take a picture of something well lit that's close by. But even good cameras, if it's dark, well, they're pretty much useless unless you have long exposures. You're not going to see a moving kind of vessel at night with long exposure. It's just not going to work. It's impossible. But in the bigger scheme of things, with footage that can be altered by anyone that has a footage with a computer, who can you trust? Footage can you trust in any case, having any kind of video footage or photography, because it can be 100% real and 100% beautiful, and people won't believe it in any case.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one for sure. Even when you've seen something with, you know, naked eye, then you still got to convince other people about it. So
exactly. It's like, how do you convince people? It's if I see something, I know it's obviously this is really, really first-hand knowledge. If my best friend or my sister, someone that's really close to me or I trust, whatever, see something, you know, I would actually listen to them, but I would have a little bit of skepticism. But I would trust them because I know them. But just take that one step further. My neighbor that I don't really know, he tells me he saw something. Am I going to trust him? No, maybe. No, I'm going to have to listen to the whole story, even if it's my neighbor. Now, take that a few steps further. Someone on the other side of the planet says he or she saw something. Of course, you're not going to believe it at face value. It's the difficulty of the thing. So everyone that have seen these things, they know what they saw. Convince someone else, it's impossible. It just that it doesn't work.
Exactly. I mean, an example is, I mean, I obviously look in the sky all the time.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing, because obviously the, you know, the sky itself is an upturned, like an upturned salad bowl, you know, yeah. At different points it magnifies, hence why the moon sometimes look bigger when it's lower to the horizon, all that. People which generally aren't used to looking up and looking at stuff can get, you know, they can misidentify a lot of stuff.
Oh, yes.
And an example of this is I was looking up at the sky. I think it was morning, and I saw a plane flying over. And mm-hmm. The plane looked like it had a plane directly next to it.
Wow.
Like, obviously, most commercial airlines are, what, three miles, it's supposed to be at least 3 miles apart. But this plane was literally right next to it. And what I think I actually saw was like an optical illusion, you know, to do with the observer itself, the object and the sun and everything. But it was there 1 minute and gone the next. And I think it was just a purely an illusion, a trick of an eye.
Yeah, it's air density, optical illusion. It's the kind of thing you sometimes see it with ships on the horizon. It appears as if the ship is actually floating above the horizon.
It's fascinating, but at the time it looked so real. I had to literally do a double take.
Of course. I mean, there's strange things out there. A lot of it, most of it innocent. You said earlier, people misidentify things, and it's just There's no maliciousness in it for the most part, I believe. It's just people are not, they don't know what a satellite looks like or the way that it behaves. They don't identify certain aircraft types. I mean, it's one of the things that I've even seen in the last 2 years of digging into this subject and watching people's videos, et cetera, et cetera. Aircraft being misidentified as some kind of a UFO. Now, okay, maybe it's because I know aircraft a bit better than the next guy, but I just have to laugh sometimes at what people who want to believe will come up with as evidence or sighting. It's sad because it messes up the real sightings and the real evidence.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you look up and you see satellites all the time. I mean, just a couple of nights ago, what I thought was I was looking at a satellite. It was moving across the sky. All of a sudden, it stopped, made a 90-degree turn, and was gone in the other direction. Satellites don't do that, you know. They're just not designed to do that.
So anything, you're absolutely right. I mean, they don't change direction. They may come and go, and they may fade, and they may flee, and they may tumble and reflect light in a sort of weird pattern. Those things are all there, and it's fine. If you know about them, you can dismiss them. But yeah, a satellite doesn't change direction. I'm sorry. It's just not out there.
Well, no, I mean, it's all based on Newton's law, isn't it? So, but a lot of mistakes people make is they call them power-ups. And what I think they're actually seeing is, obviously, these iridium flares.
Iridium satellites. They're beautiful to see. I've seen quite a few of them. They really, really are nice to see. And they can get quite bright.
Very bright.
Yeah, what's also nice to see, these are a few satellites. Now, I've got this app that I've also started using. You know, this app has maybe, for argument's sake, 2,000 satellites on it. In fact, the NORAD has something like over 40,000 identified satellites and pieces of satellite debris that's been catalogued. So the app doesn't have all of that. So you can see what is obviously a satellite, but the app doesn't show that specific satellite. I mean, people immediately say, "Ooh, there's a UFO," which is not really always the case. But there are some very, very interesting ones. The iridiums, like, are actually when something went wrong in the orbit and orientation, and they are tumbling. They are not flying in a line, or they rotating or rolling too fast. And those are so fascinating to see.
I mean, obviously, now that Elon Musk has filled the sky full of a lot of his junk.
I haven't seen one of those streams yet. I'd love to. But I have tried. I will keep trying. One day I will see one of these Starlink constellations coming over.
Yeah, if you have a look at the website, it should tell you when it's coming over, and look in that direction, and then you should see it, and they should all reflect the sun as it's going down.
Yeah. I've noticed, I don't know if it's like that everywhere, maybe it's just where I am. I see a lot more satellites in the mornings than I do in the evenings. So I think it's maybe the angle of the sun coming from behind me, the direction in which I look, rather than the sun in front of me, which reflects better. So mornings are better for me.
I really appreciate you coming on today, Dee.
Thank you very much for your time, for the conversation. Like I said, it's my pleasure, and the opportunity to give a brief description of what I saw. As I said, if people want to read a bit more detail and look at some of the drawings that I made, I'm no artist at all. They're welcome to go and visit the website. And all the best. Keep up the good work. I hope you find a lot of interesting stories, and hopefully people can piece together what's really going on out there.
That is all for today. Thank you for Dee for sharing his account. I will be back next week with another guest and another encounter with the strange and unexplained. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.